Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Right.
He said he was born ready, baby. Go.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
All right, guys, we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. You guys want to call in 323-870-3857. Beeb, let's get it going. Let's get it started. DAZN, Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Guys, I tried to tell you. Beeb tried to tell you. Everybody who knows boxing tried to tell you. It was a fluke last time. I don't think it was a fluke. Like I said, I think Fury was washed last time. No luck for Ngannou this time, man. Anthony Joshua annihilated this guy in two rounds. This fight wasn't even close. I feel like in this fight you saw what levels are. You know, you see a guy who has one pro fight versus a guy who has, you know, 30 or almost 30 or whatever his record is now. Anyway, Joshua's been boxing for a long time, and it showed. It was pretty obvious from the get-go. Joshua started smart. He kept the distance. After some shots from AJ, Ngannou was biting on literally every feint that was thrown in that first round. I mean, everything. And at that point, you know he's got a big problem. Because as soon as you start biting on feints and everything like that, you got a big, big problem, man. Joshua dumped Ngannou in the first round. It was a straight right that hit him. And what did Ngannou do wrong? Well, he pulled straight back. What do you never do? Pull straight back. He pulled straight back, had all the weight on his back foot. He had nowhere to go, couldn't move. He took the eight count. He kind of looked shaky when he got up. He lasted the rest of the round, didn't look great. The one thing I noticed about the first round is that AJ is landing every right hand that he threw. He couldn't miss. I told my son, I said, he can't take those all night, man. Going to have to make some adjustments, but Ngannou in his corner, they're just not experienced in the sport, man. It's a different animal. It's a different sport. And Ngannou kept the same trainer that he did, I believe, for the last fight as well. I don't know how much Mike Tyson played a part last time, but he kept the same trainer that he does for MMA, and it's not – he should have gotten a boxing coach for this. He really should have. It doesn't matter. It's going to be academic at the end of the day, but – you know, it is what it is, but that's what I thought maybe he should have trained for. That's how I thought he should have trained for it. Second round started, man. You could see the handwriting on the wall. About a minute was left in the round. AJ caught Ngannou with another flush right hand that dropped him. This was an overhand right. This was and it landed flush, man. It really did. It took Ngannou the full eight to get up. He was very shaky when he got up. They went ahead and he got back up. They motioned to each other. They met in the middle of the ring, and AJ unloaded a like almost comic book overhand right to Ngannou, and you just saw his leg bent backwards. You saw he was out before he hit the floor. His leg buckled him back, and he didn't feel anything. He was out. I mean, completely out. The referee called a halt to it right then in the second round. There was about 30 seconds left in the second round when he got counted out. You know, the crazy thing, it wasn't really the outcome. Ariel Helwani, who's a MMA guy and everything, and he interviews a lot of boxers now and everything like that too. He said he was really shocked about the outcome. Not that Joshua won, but there's just that Ngannou was knocked out. And I was kind of surprised about that too, because I'm like, how could you, I wasn't surprised that he got knocked out. We all knew it was going to, you know, it was either he was going to go to a decision and get completely whitewashed or he was going to get knocked out. There was no way he's beating AJ. None. Absolutely none. You know, like I said, you could have bet your house on AJ.
It sounds crazy. I knew he was going to win AJ, but I just had a feeling. I thought that Ngannou could go the distance, right? And D-Style tried to tell me, he goes, it's not the same thing. Because I said this to D-Style. The guy's got a giant head. He's got a giant neck. He's never even been knocked out or submitted in his whole MMA career.
It's different.
Right? Yeah. But D-Style kept telling me, it's different, Beeb. It's different, Beeb. And lo and behold, it was different. And I knew Joshua would win the fight. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I was just surprised at how he was just able to hurt him immediately he hurt.
Well, I mean, right? he's hitting him with clean right hands.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, you know, a 250-pound guy, just sledgehammering.
You mentioned the feint, but one thing that Joshua did beautifully, and we said it before that he had to do this, had to fight him long. And he was measuring him with that jab perfectly. It's almost like he was just posting him. He was like, boom. Like, he would not let him get within 2 feet of him. He was going to fight him at range, and he had just beautifully enough space to turn the right hand over. He extended it perfectly. You know, sometimes, like, you remember that punch Kovalev hit Ward with?
Yes.
Ward kind of shortened the distance, and it kind of rolled up his head.
Put him down, yeah.
But imagine if Kovalev actually had enough space to turn it over and catch him at the end of it. Joshua was throwing perfectly measured punches. He was turning them over and catching them right at the end of them. These were picture-perfect shots.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to say, out of the three, you have Joshua, you have Fury, you have Usyk. Fury's 35. Usyk's going to be 37. Usyk's had a long amateur career, so there's wear and tear there.
Yeah.
As much as I love Fury, right, Fury has abused his body. So he's 35, but really, you could argue he's 45 the way he destroyed his body. The one thing Joshua did, always stayed active, always stayed in shape, and he's the younger of the three. So you may argue, again, I still think Fury's the man in this division, but again, that's something that still needs to be proved.
That's on wobbly legs right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. One upside Joshua has is he's got the most left in the tank. Because if you look at Joshua, the only one really bad fight that he had where he really took a lot of damage was that Ruiz fight. Other than that, he really didn't take a ton of damage throughout the course of his career, right? So he's probably the fresher of the three, and he's got more time on the clock than they do. So if Joshua catches, say Usyk by some miracle beats Fury, and, you know, Joshua catches Usyk at the tail end of his career. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joshua still could be champion again. He still could be champion too. It's not a foregone conclusion that Usyk beats Joshua a third time or that Fury beats Joshua. I think Fury will beat him. But again, there's an argument to be made that he's got momentum behind him now.
Yeah. JC said that was an early stoppage.
Not jumping on I never jump on the wagon. I just deal in reality, man. A lot of you guys in the chat, you have emotions. Sometimes you don't change your tampons. You know, that's the way you guys are, man.
Oh, that's cool.
You guys are the way you guys are. You act like, you know, you have these feminine traits sometimes. No disrespect to women, but as men, we can't be emotional when we break down these fights.
Not emotional. Not emotional.
Right? I scored that fight for Ngannou. I thought Ngannou won the fight.
Thought he won.
But we got to be honest here.
Yeah.
We got to tell the truth.
I agree.
I know, Georgie, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you start talking to yourself, and you're telling yourself lies. We don't do that over here, man.
Rikers is a tough place, man. Rikers is a tough place.
We drink the truth theorem over here, baby.
Truth theorem? Pocket, thank you so much. He said, keep up the great work, guys. I always look forward to your show. Thank you so much. Team Batman says, well done. AJ represented boxing. Yeah, he really did. He really did. This is what he should have done. And so now immediately you know that combat math doesn't work. Right? We all know, and you know where I'm headed. You know exactly where I'm headed. Fury, it wasn't a lack of training. It wasn't a lack of anything else. I'm telling you, he's washed. He's washed.
I don't know. I'm going to say something. You're going to be shocked. Yesterday when I checked the odds for the first time since this fight was announced,
yeah,
he's the underdog now.
It doesn't surprise me.
Ever so slightly, he's the underdog.
It does not surprise me.
When the fight first was announced, he was like a plus, I want to say he was a plus 220. Then after the Ngannou fight, a minus 220.
Yeah.
He was like a minus 220, I apologize. And then after the Ngannou fight, he was like a minus 170.
Yep.
Now he's a plus 106 after that fight. So a lot of people.
A slight underdog or slight
with,
favorite, but yeah, I agree.
A lot of people agree with you. I just have to see, because I've seen the guy up and down, up and down, up and down. When his back is up against the wall, that's when he does the best. But again, this is 35 years old. He has been abusing himself.
Yeah.
This could be the time where he does hit the – it could happen. Remember how we used to say about Andre Ward, we have to see him lose. Like after,
yeah,
even after
yeah, I have
Kovalev,
to see him lose. I have to see him lose.
Even after you thought Kovalev beat him,
yeah,
you still picked him in the rematch because you said to yourself,
until I see him lose, I don't think it's possible.
I
got to
see him lose.
Yep.
And until we really see Fury go like this, really down. Because that's one fight with Ngannou, and I'm saying to myself, here's the thing. You schedule a fight 5 weeks after that, right? It's like they could say what they want, but there was no threat there in his mind. There was no he's going into that fight, and he has to feel like there's very little,
why?
If any, danger there.
Why was there no danger in there? Why? Why did he feel like that? There's a guy who goes,
I know,
who wears 4 ounce gloves and tackles the guy in front of you.
I know.
And mauls
AJ,
him to death.
AJ would never
let him
know what Fury did.
Close to you. AJ didn't even let him get close.
Yeah. And that's on him. But there was no concern. There was no thought of danger going into that fight.
Having the credentials as a heavyweight champion of the world?
No, I know. Listen, you can't put a happy face on it.
No.
But I just have a hard time believing he is not going to be dialed in for losing.
I don't care if he is dialed in. He can dial in all he wants. He can dial in. He can get new trained. I don't care what he does. The thing is, sometimes when you're there, and we've seen this before, we've seen the song and dance before, sometimes when you go to step on that gas doesn't go. It doesn't go as fast as it used to.
Yeah. We'll find out on May 18th because you could very well be right. I mean, everyone hits the wall sometime in their career, right?
And I don't think somebody had asked me, do you think Usyk stops him early or late? No, I don't think Usyk stops. I think it's a unanimous decision. I think Usyk wins a unanimous decision, and I think that he just walks him that whole fight. He just dog walks him the whole fight.
You even with an off night, and I think you've said this before, you just can't see that. Like that fight should not have been that way.
That was more than an off night.
Yeah, Fury at his worst shouldn't be competitive. Is what you're saying.
Look, I mean, as big of a Fury fan as you are, you said he lost that fight. We both agree
that
he lost that fight.
I thought he lost the fight.
And there is no way that we should even be talking about that. You know what I mean? Like, he had a bad performance. He had a bad this. He had a bad that. But he still clearly won the fight. No, that wasn't the case. He couldn't even hurt that dude.
There is an argument to be made that maybe he hit the wall in that fight. I don't know. I still think he's got one. I think he's got one good one left in him. We'll see.
Maybe.
It's going to be interesting.
Ah, look at that. He's back on Coke Zero. Love it, D-Style. Thank you so much. No more Diet Pepsi.
He's not kissing Eric's ass on the first thing.
I'll stop it.
Why don't you just jump in the chat and stop around those?
Stop it. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? You know, and as good as AJ looked yesterday, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not ready to just hang, anoint him the next heavyweight champion because we got to take into consideration who he beat. Mm-hmm. And he beat a guy that was 0-1 professionally.
Yeah.
0-1. So, listen, I can't put a whole lot. Listen, AJ did exactly what AJ was supposed to do to a guy who doesn't do this every day, okay? This is exactly what was supposed to happen in the Fury fight. If Fury wasn't watched, this would have happened. But I'm telling you, man, AJ showed you how he should. But again, and you know, AJ's got new life in the heavyweight division. No question. This yeah. definitely brought him new life. Anytime you get a highlight reel cartoon knockout like that, it gives you life. But AJ is still AJ, the same AJ that we saw prior to this. Does this AJ beat Joseph Parker? Oh, no. Joseph Parker looked pretty good. You know, they both him and Zhang looked pretty good. Does he beat Zhang? Maybe. I don't know. I still think that there's, you know, does he
beat Usyk? Oh, I think AJ beats Zhang. Oh, yeah.
Does he beat Usyk? Does he beat Usyk again?
I
don't know. I think he could. I thought he did better the second fight than he did the first fight, but he still lost.
He lost.
You know, and so you kind of wonder about that, you know, and you kind of wonder, you know, just because he beat, again, Francis Ngannou, who, you know, we can't go crazy with AJ either and say he's the next heir apparent. But I agree with you. I think Parker, I'll tell you what, I think Parker and I think Joshua have really come back and proved, at least got themselves back into the...
That's what I'm saying, Eric. That's why I don't want to write Fury off, because let's take a look at Parker, right? He went life and... He lost to Dillian White. He went life and death with Chisora. And I thought he lost the first Chisora fight. And he looked so bad in that first fight that he had a rematch. And then he gets knocked out by Joyce. And then look what he does. He comes back and has two huge upset victories. That's why this division, like even with Joshua, we were writing him off. Like when he was on the, I don't want to say he's on the slide, but something just didn't look right for a couple fights. So I don't know, man.
The mental game plays a big role, man. It really does.
Here's the thing, though. You do make a good point, though. Fury at his worst should not struggle with Ngannou.
No.
He can't.
And
you'll
have bad rounds. You won't look as good, or maybe you carry the guy 12 rounds or 10 rounds or whatever it was scheduled for.
He looked so tired in that fight. He was so heavy too. I just can't say he wasn't in shape.
He was in shape just as much as he was for any other fight.
But Eric, how do you schedule a fight and then have the undisputed fight 5 weeks later? If you're thinking that fight's going to be a tough fight, why would you? You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter.
They were going into that like it was a sparring session, but you can't do that.
But you know what? That's kind of the narrative. That's kind of the narrative. You know, and I know that you don't take anybody for granted at this level. Anybody, no matter what, you can't. No matter what sport they play, whatever, you can't, because people are throwing hands at you, and these are big guys throwing hands at you. And that's a big difference.
What about when Antonio Tarver fought Rocky Balboa?
Sure.
I mean, he took him lightly in that fight.
He took him very lightly, and look what happened. He broke his hand, lost a bunch of rounds, won a very close decision. The fight should not have been that difficult. But he did break his hand in that fight.
But Rocky should not win on one judge's scorecard. That should not have been a split decision. What happened? Antonio Tarver took him lightly.
Well, but he also broke his hand in the fight. That's a big difference. Now, listen, if Tyson Fury came to me and said, or came out and said, hey, I broke my hand during the fight, yeah, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, but, you know, he didn't. He didn't have any injuries, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, the odds change, so a lot of, I mean...
That doesn't surprise me, especially after last time, especially after last night, watching AJ just handle him the way he did.
That doesn't surprise me at all. It's so funny, Eric, because, like, I want to say maybe 2 weeks ago, I was at the casino with my friend, and he wanted to put a bet on Fury when Fury was, like, a minus 170.
Yeah.
And I told him. I said, well, I think he was a minus 125. Was it a minus 125? He was like minus 125. And I said, don't bet him yet. I said, it's going to get tighter. The odds are going to get tighter. Because I knew those odds were gonna tighten up after AJ beat Ngannou in emphatic fashion. I knew that was going to happen. So now you're going to get Fury at a good price now if you want to bet him.
Yeah, if you want to bet him. And, you know, I think I would stay away from that fight. There's just too much of an unknown now. I mean, there really is. There's too much of an unknown. Could Fury do it? Yeah, but I mean, would you bet your house on a guy who doesn't take, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not going to put any money on a guy who can't, you know, I don't know which guy is going to show up. So, man, I'm staying out of that fight.
You know what it is, Eric? I can't fathom, and this is just probably me in my head, I can't fathom that what I saw was Tyson Fury on that day. I just can't process that.
Well, you can make a case. You can make a case that it wasn't Tyson Fury that day. Because how many times did you see Terry Norris? You remember Terry Norris?
Yeah.
When he got smashed by Simon Brown in four rounds?
Yeah.
There's no way that guy's coming back in a rematch and winning that fight. None.
But he
dominated that fight. Won every single round.
I'm saying. And
the problem is he's 35. That's a big matzo ball right
there. You know what the other problem is too, Eric? You can't abuse your body for years after years after years.
It does make it difficult. But I will say he did look in good shape this weekend. He did good looking.
He looked phenomenal.
You know, he looked good. But again, remember Riddick Bowe when he got in shape for Andrew Galata? He was smashed there. He got beat both of those fights.
Yeah.
You know, and he looked great. That was the best shape I'd ever seen him look. I mean, he looked good. And he came out there and just was completely flat. That's what you wonder. Does he overtrain? Does he come out completely flat because he's trying to overcompensate for a bad performance?
You're making good points here, Eric. I can't refute them.
It's tough. It's tough.
I can't unequivocally refute what you're saying 100%. Can't do it.
Yeah.
You're making good arguments.
Alexander Wilson, thank you so much. He said, was it me or was Nick Ball extremely dirty or was Vargas trying to act like he was dirty?
See, here's the problem with that. Everyone kept saying that. But when you want to grab and hold somebody like Vargas was doing, you can't get mad when the guy's working out of the clinch.
No.
You want to grab a guy, you want to lean on him, you want to just hold him. He's going to fight his way out of the clinch. He needs a lot smaller than Vargas, so he's got to do what he did.
And people hate to get held, man. If you hold somebody in the gym, you're getting hit. You know, I used to hold people all the time, and you knew it was coming. You know, so it was like
he had to do what he did to fight out of those punches.
Yeah,
he had to.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. So about the anything else about the AJ and Ghana? I thought AJ looked great, man.
AJ saved the honor of the sport for us because
I would have been blown.
We needed AJ to do what he did, and I want to just extend my greatest gratitude. Thank you, AJ, for what you did on Friday. Thank you so much.
I mean, geez, you know, you got the, you know, if he knocks out AJ, you're just like, man, we might have something. This guy is special, man. This is crazy. We don't see this.
And the way AJ did the business,
it couldn't have been
scripted any better. That's what we needed. We needed that to happen.
Yeah.
We needed that to happen.
My son, we bet a pie bet. Unfortunately, we don't have any whipped cream here, so he'll do it next week maybe. I'm holding him to it. He's doing it. But he thinks Francis Ngannou. He thought Francis Ngannou was going to win the fight pretty easy. And I said, he was like, there's no way AJ's going to beat him. I said, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea.
All the young UFC fans really believe in this, in Ngannou, man. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I am your leader. Says MMA fans think it was fake. Listen, you don't fake that. He was out. There was no faking that one, buddy. But, yeah, he thinks that Jake Paul is going to beat Mike Tyson, all that crazy stuff, man. I'm like, yeah.
Is that even going to be a real fight, though?
I mean, no, it's an exhibition. And I know there'll be rules with it and everything like that. It'll be an exhibition where nobody will probably win. And, listen, man, it's a great – again, it's in Texas Stadium. It's on Netflix. You know it's going to be a sellout. It brings eyes to the sport. So everybody can hate Jake Paul all they want and – blah, blah, blah. This isn't going to be a real fight. It's an exhibition.
I bet you it does over a million pay-per-view buys.
Sure. Sure it will. Because you got a 58-year-old guy, and that's the equalizer. It's not Jake Paul's right hand. It's the fact that Tyson's 58.
imagine if Tyson just decides that he wants to just haul off at this point. Like, what's so many? Because
sure.
Like when he was when he did that exhibition with Roy Jones, he wasn't even hitting him in the face.
No, he was just going straight to the body.
He was hitting him in the body.
Yeah.
He didn't want to hurt him.
And I mean, listen, man, if, you know, if Tyson decides that, you know, like he hits him hard or something like that, and he is, if Tyson decides, hey, I want to get you out of here, you're going out. There's not much he can do about it. I don't care how much boxing you think you have or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, you talk about levels. Remember Ken Buchanan? Remember that video of Ken Buchanan when he was like 70 or something like that, 70 or 80, and he was hitting that bag?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he looked like he didn't miss a step, man.
Even Ray Leonard hitting the bag, these guys are still working out.
Oh, yeah. And you know, they did this. You got to think, they've done this for like every day for like how many years of their life was getting up, running, hitting the bag, going to the gym, getting hit in the face, trying to hit other people in the face. You know, it's something you do every day. It's muscle memory. You never forget that.
Muscle memory, yeah.
You know? Reese Mack says 57 is still 57, though. Yeah, you're right. He is. AJ winning like that gave boxing the cool factor. Thank you so much, D-Style. He's right. We got him back.
D-Style was worried, man. I was getting nervous, man. He was like, AJ's got to win this fight. Got to win this fight. I said, don't worry about it. It's all right, D-Style. I had to console him. I didn't fool the kid. He was getting really upset.
Dante S. or Dante's. Whichever one, Dante, yes. Mike was horrible in his last real fights. Don't forget that. Listen, yeah, but it's not a real fight. Not a real fight. Just not. It's an exhibition.
We really going to break this down with X's and O's and shit now, please. It's an exhibition.
I don't know. You wonder if he's going to wear headgear or if headgear is going to be worn or I don't know.
Yeah.
Juan, that is a perfect saying. AJ mopping up Fury's embarrassment. Absolutely.
It was an embarrassment, man. There's no way around it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No way around it.
All right, let's talk about that co-main here. Xylee Zhang, Big Bang Zhang versus Joseph Parker. Joseph Parker beats Zhang in a majority decision, 113-113 tied, 114-112 and 115-111. Parker was knocked down twice in the fight, but still managed to get the win. He seemed to outwork Zhang really in the later rounds to me. I thought that right around the first six rounds, I had Zhang ahead, but then as it goes on, it seemed Parker was doing more work, and Zhang was definitely getting tired.
And that's what we said. We said that Parker's foot speed, his movement, and his work rate were gonna carry the day.
Yeah.
And it most certainly did.
I tell you what, man, Parker's looked good in his last two fights against Wilder and against Zhang. He's like the giant killer now. That's what they got him there. That I call him the giant killer. Why not? You know, I mean, this guy goes in there and it's like, man, he's got both his fights, man. He's looked really good.
He did.
He's looked very good, man. Zhang, Tony Hill said Zhang throwing six punches around. Where does Zhang go from here? Because he didn't look bad.
Got a rematch clause.
That's right. He sure does. And my guess is that they'll run it back.
They'll run it back, yeah. They'll exercise it.
Yeah. And I wonder if they run it back in Saudi or, you know, what if they could run it back in China, man?
I know. That would be something.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I mean, all those people and seeing their guy, man. That'd be great, man.
We both picked Parker to win, didn't we? I picked Parker.
We both picked Parker to win.
I did. You did. I even think someone told me Nacho picked Parker. I'm surprised because Nacho always picks the favorites, man. That guy always picks the chalk.
You stupid.
When that guy picked an underdog, I think Carter was president. He never picks underdogs, man. Either.
Carter? You went way back, didn't you? Ray Vargas versus Nick Ball for Vargas' WBC featherweight championship. They fought to a split decision draw, 114-112 for Vargas, 116-110 for Ball, and 113-113. Vargas was knocked down twice in the 8th and the 11th round. Beam, I didn't catch this fight. I wanted to go see it. I know. I got to go check it out because I heard it's
really good, really good fight.
Now, I heard Vargas won the first six rounds, but after that, it seemed to really turn. And with four points going Nick Ball's way, was this really a draw?
Wasn't a draw on my card.
Who did you have winning this?
I had Nick Ballman in this fight. I thought that, again, Vargas did not like when Nick Ball got in his chest. He tried to grab him and hold him and freeze the action. And much to the dismay of these people in the chat and people on Twitter who want to go watch ballet instead of realizing this is a fight, and when you fight, it's going to be physical sometimes. Oh, he's dirty. Don't grab him, and he won't have to muscle you. He won't have to work his way and wrestle his way out of the clinches if you don't try to grab him and hold him.
Right.
I mean, he's a smaller guy. You're the bigger guy, all right? He's got to work on the inside. He can't. He has to be able to work on the inside, and if you're going to hold him like that, he has to fight and wrestle his way out of those clinches. So that's what he did, you know? And, you know, you have two 10-8 rounds for Ball, right? So even if you had it even in rounds.
Still got four rounds for Ball right there.
Yeah,
that's 10-8 rounds.
Yeah, I had it 7-5 for Ball. My scorecard was like the other one of the judges. I had it 115-111. The other judge had it 114-112. Honestly, you know, if you have it, I can't see myself how Vargas got 7 rounds to make it a draw on one judge's card. But a couple people I know had it a draw. I think Face the Kid on Twitter, he had it a draw. Was it impossible to give Vargas 7 rounds? I don't know. I gave him 5 of the first 6, and then from 7 to 12, I gave Ball every round.
Yeah.
Right. I don't see how you can give Vargas a round from 7 to 12, but apparently, maybe a couple people did. Maybe they gave him. I guess if you give him round 10, a lot of people say was close. So if you give Vargas round 10, right, then you know you give him the first 6, and then you give him round 10. I guess you could have it a draw. I don't want to shit on people's scorecards, I had a feeling that this could get a little controversial, and I was right.
Yeah.
I was right. And it was funny, too, because Vargas kept saying, I went in his backyard. Dude, the guy's not from Saudi.
Right, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah, because he was the house fighter,
right,
and then
right,
he came over to his promotion because – He's still a PBC fighter. A lot of people thought he left PBC. No, they just went because at the press conference he said, I want to thank my promoter. They still call Al Haymon a promoter, even though he doesn't have a promotion license. I don't think he has a promotion license.
Cause
he has Tom Brown promoting the fight for him. So
right.
But so I guess he was trying to say, like, I came over here. I wasn't the house fighter. I was technically the B side, and you know I didn't feel as though I got, you know, treated properly or whatever because I wasn't the house fighter, I guess. But I don't know. Was a draw possible? Yeah. It was just I thought it was a stretch, but I guess you could get there. It's not impossible to get there.
Who does Ball is Ball with Frank Warren?
Yes.
Because that's what Eddie Hearn they had asked Eddie Hearn if you could have anybody on this card who's not yours, who would you take? And he said Nick Ball.
Yeah.
He didn't even hesitate. Out of everybody on that card, he said Nick Ball.
Yeah. He likes Nick Ball a lot, Eddie Hearn does. And again, and he's got a lot of upside because he's still fairly young. He's getting better. And he's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. He really is. He's a good inside fighter. He's got quick feet. So obviously he's not the biggest, tallest, longest guy in the world. But he knows how to make up for his physical deficiencies in terms of his size. You know, he's got the quick feet, puts his shots together very well. Actually has a good jab, changes levels. He's really elusive and crafty when he comes in because once he changes levels and dips down low and throws the jab when he's dipping down low and then he springs up with a hook, I mean, he's good. He's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. He knows how to make the most of what he has. And he most certainly did, in my opinion, on Friday.
Yeah,
but
I agree. Yeah,
hopefully they run it back.
So yeah, what do you think happens? I mean, do they run this back or what do they do?
Where does Vargas go after this? I mean, I think they should run it back.
You think they run it back in the States?
You know, you could put this fight, and you could do Zhang Parker again You could throw these on the. You could throw both of these fights. Where are we at right now? We can't. It's still a little too early. You know what you could do? You could put Nick Ball, and you could put Parker Zhang on maybe that June 1st card that they're doing with Bivol Beterbiev. Could do that.
Possibly.
Maybe. So we'll see.
Because I don't think either one of these guys can headline.
Parker Zhang, they could headline that. They could that could be a headliner.
Maybe.
But sometimes it's good to be a co-main or be on the undercard of a huge event like this.
I agree.
Get more exposure.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if you're getting paid well. What difference does it make?
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
You know.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. March 15th, New York on UFC Fight Pass, Callum Walsh versus Darren Yelusinov, 10 rounds, junior middleweights, Cletus Seldon versus the dreaded TBA, and he's at a junior welterweight. So that'll be on UFC Fight Pass. March 16th, I believe this is Saturday, March 16th, William Zepeda, this is on DAZN from Las Vegas, William Zepeda versus Maxie Hughes, 12 rounds for the IBF and WBA lightweight title eliminator. Floyd Schofield versus Esturi Suero, 10 rounds lightweights. Floyd Schofield is an up-and-comer.
He's
pretty good. definitely worth watching. Definitely worth watching. Victor Morales Jr. versus Luis Nunez, 10 rounds featherweights. And Marlon Esparza versus Gabrielle Allen. Who cares? So not a great DAZN card, not a great DAZN card, Beebe. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because you talk about DAZN a lot. And I was really thinking about it. So you pay $20 a month, right? Some months, you know, you may watch one fight, right?
Well,
if you're lucky, you may get two fights in a month.
Yeah. So,
I would average it out to about one fight a month, right? That's without the pay-per-views. So I'm going to pay $20 a month or $18.75, whatever the hell it is, for an app that I'm only opening up once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, you know what? Nah. That's crazy. That's crazy.
You know, not only that, right? You say it's $20 a month, but kind of. Because you have to cancel it 30 days in. You have to give them 30 days notice to cancel. You can't just cancel a week before it's supposed to renew. You have to cancel 30 days. So it's almost impossible. You know, you have to watch the fight and then the next day literally cancel the same day. You know? What did anybody do in February?
If you don't cancel 30 days before, they will just – so what about – so I pay for a yearly membership.
Uh-huh.
Right? I canceled on Friday.
Okay.
So my membership, my subscription was supposed to renew, I think, on the 25th of March. And I canceled I canceled last week. I think I canceled Thursday.
Yeah, because you paid a year in advance. These are people for, like, if they want to watch the fight. Like, if I wanted to watch the fight yesterday, you know, I plunked down X amount of dollars to get DAZN, and then I have to pay for whatever. So the fight's going to be $70 or $80 anyway if you don't have it, even if you go get it. But then if you go month to month with the payments,
they're not going to charge me then because I can't.
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, I canceled. I did cancel.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because, like I said, that's you know, again, and you had a great card yesterday, a really good card, I thought, you know, fun fights. But again, it's one card, and it was pay-per-view. It was a pay-per-view card. It wasn't like it was free on there. So you had to pay the 20, and so what? It was like, how much was the pay-per-view on DAZN?
$39.
All right, so $40 plus your 25 or whatever. So it was like $65, $70.
Yeah, because people think, oh, it's only $40.
Yeah, but it's not.
Right, you're still paying $20 up for the month.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're paying $20 for the month. And ESPN Plus is like, what, $8 a month, $9 a month?
Yeah, and they've always got fairly good stuff on there. I mean, we watch it for other things than fights, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, and it's half the price of what they're charging. Like,
yeah.
You know, That is not a bargain, bro.
No, it's not.
Not a bargain. And they're raising their price to, like, I think, $30 a month now.
Yeah.
If you don't go, yeah.
Goodbye.
Forget about it.
Nope.
Forget about it.
Yeah, the zone in America should be $10. Yeah, he's right. He's 100% right. 100% right. And that's it. That's it for next week. We don't really get into any, yeah, on March 23rd, Dalton Smith versus Jose Cepeda. That's on the zone. You know,
Yeah. Whatever.
March 30th is when it kind of kicks off here. You got Tim Zhu versus Keith Thurman. That's on the Prime Video pay-per-view.
Are you interested in seeing how that platform, how it's going to be watching a watching a fight on Amazon?
Against Keith Thurman and Tim Zhu? No.
No, I'm not interested in the fight, but are you interested in how that like that's going to work? Like the production and everything, like who's going to be the announcers? Like I'm just curious how that whole thing is going to look. On March 30th.
I wonder who their announcers are going to be.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm a little bit.
You think Jim Lampley comes back? Or Max Kellerman?
I don't imagine if they hire them again. You know what would be a great.
I think that would be great.
You took Jim Lampley, Max Kellerman, and Al Bernstein all breathing together. That would be like a monster trio, right?
Yeah, but Bernstein and Lampley are both color guys, though. Aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of color. But again, sometimes
they do work well together, though. We've heard them before.
You could have two color guys and, like, one play-by-play type guy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. JC asked me, do I think Sean O'Malley folds Ryan Garcia?
Yeah.
Absolutely. In boxing, no. But in just a regular fight, yeah, of course. Sean O'Malley's a bad, bad man. I'll tell you that right now. If you didn't see him last night, go watch that fight. That was a complete clinic that he put on Chito Vera last night. Insane.
Good fight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's so good, man. And you know what? And Sean O'Malley is one of those guys that gets better with the title.
I was going to say he's better.
Yeah, he's definitely better than when he won it. You can see the confidence. You can see him growing. You can see him, you know, just different stuff he does. Yeah, he's definitely a better fighter now with the title than he was without it. So
yeah,
some people do that. You know, some people rise with the title. Some people just kind of stagnate with the title. I don't know.
Sure.
All right, before we go to the phones, I want to get this subject out here on our news and rumors here. Ryan Garcia, and I've sent you a bunch of videos, and I know you've seen them. I know you've probably seen them, most of them anyway.
I have,
Because you're way you see like 20 times more videos than I do, you know.
Yeah.
And I always feel like a goof sending you videos. I'm like, he's already seen this. You know, it's like, Ryan Garcia has really kind of gone off the deep end here, going live with Andrew Tate and talking about child trafficking. He's been on Instagram Live the past week talking about the same thing. You can hear people next to him in the live telling him to stop and that people are worried about his well-being, his mental health, and everything like that. De La Hoya came out and was interviewed by Ariel Helwani and a few other people, was asked about Garcia's behavior, and he just laughed it off and said he's been in training, blah, blah, blah. De La Hoya could care less about this guy or anybody else not named De La Hoya. One of the worst human beings on the planet, just in my opinion. But be that as it may, I'll be honest with you. I don't think this fight comes off, and rumor has it that Garcia is already trying to change the date. I heard this on, I think Malignaggi or somebody was talking about that. That Ryan Garcia is already trying to change the date to like May something.
Really? I didn't hear
that. Yeah. That's what I heard on, I think it was Pro Box TV I was watching.
Okay. Here's my take on it.
Don't quote me on that, but I heard it somewhere on one of those channels.
Okay, but I'm not going to rule it out. Here's my take on it, right? Steve Kim said this, and I agree 110%. I think the guy's a narcissist. I honestly believe this guy just will do anything to try to get attention. I think this guy's probably growing up, he was pampered. You could just tell.
For sure.
Like, the way his dad, like, kind of, like, he can do no wrong, right? Like, in his dad's eyes and his family's eyes.
His mom's eyes, too. Yeah, his mom was.
Almost like they coddled him since he was, like, he was always probably their favorite. He was coddled. And, you know, and my mom used to, like, I was a mama's boy, but guess what? Beef Sr., He wasn't having it, man.
Yeah.
Paula, stop babying him. And then then he would just do the opposite.
Right.
She was like the yin and he was the yang.
Yeah.
You don't have that. There's no good cop, bad cop dynamic in that household.
Right, right.
Do you want another scoop of ice cream, Ryan, on your cake? That's what's going on over that. That's what was going on over there when he was growing up. Okay.
I think that might still be going on now.
Sort of like how Mrs. Herrick does that to Robbie still to this day. But I don't want to go there because when he comes on, we'll talk about that later.
That's cold-blooded.
You know, you don't when you have been told your whole life that you've never did anything wrong and it's not your fault, then guess what? That's something you carry with you and the mentality. And it's like, you know, everything that happened in that tank fight, he had an excuse
yeah.
for it. This was wrong. That was wrong. This was blah, 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 blah.
And then he switched trainers immediately after.
And then he switched trainers. And you know, and you don't think that Derrick James is not going to be Audi 5000 after this fight when he loses again?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and what, you know, Derrick James, I mean, like, he's got to be like, you know, he's seeing all this stuff too. You know, and you can't, I mean, that second press conference, there was something wrong with him. He was on something. He was compromised in some way. And like, oh, you hear these videos, you heard the videos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's scary. It's scary the way he's talking because you're seeing the guy break down, man.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. This is probably not a popular take. I think he's acting. He may be a little off, but I think he's exaggerating how off. Like, he just wants attention. He thinks that this is good, right? He thinks, oh wow, everyone's, and then I'm trolling. He thinks this is funny. Like, I really believe that he thinks this is funny. He thinks that this is going to help promote the fight. I really believe that.
I think Dante S here has a great take, and it's kind of what I'm thinking when you said that. That's kind of where I was going. I was thinking about this. He says, I think that he thinks that he's trolling, but it's 100% real. The joke is really on him. And I think he might be right. I really do.
I mean, he's talking about Alex Jones conspiracy theories. Like, come on, man.
Well, he went on Instagram and said, Alex Jones has called me, WTF, you know. Like, dude, if Alex Jones is saying you're out in left field, what, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
This is the same guy who did the Pizzagate thing or whatever, which was proved to be, you know, all of his stories were proved to be nonsense. Like 90% of his shit was nonsense.
A lot of them were wrong.
Like, come on. All right, let me get Robbie up here. 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
What's the word, Robert?
First of all,
what time did you watch your pay-per-view start on Friday?
Mine
like
started 7 at 7 a.m. 7 a.m.
He didn't even go to bed. He just stayed right up. He didn't even
You and Mrs. Herrick didn't get to go to the park that day like you always do on Friday.
No, I watched it from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., man. It was a good day. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight will not be a pay-per-view on Netflix. If you're a Netflix subscriber and you pay a monthly subscription, you'll be able to watch that fight. There's no extra cost. Number two, for Amazon Prime, I heard the Showtime crew will be their announcers, Ranello, Bernstein, and Abner Morris. And
yeah, that's,
Farhood.
That's the same same crew they had. So, yeah, that's right. That's the same crew they had. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
So, Friday was a great day, man. Good fights. No complaints at all. Joshua did what he needed to do. Now, in the Parker Zhang case, do you think Father Time has caught up with Zhang? Because he totally destroyed Joe Joyce twice, but it seems like he really couldn't do anything with Parker, especially the second half of the fight.
Well, Parker's a better mover than Joyce. He's a better, you know, he's a better boxer, I think, than Joyce.
Right.
All you got to do is go back and watch the Jerry Forrest fight, and then you go back and watch the Hergovich fight.
Right.
And you just can see that this guy fights at a slow pace. If he doesn't hurt you,
yeah,
and get you out of there, then there's a chance that you could outwork him late in the fight.
Right.
It's the formula that works. Joseph Parker is in phenomenal shape. He's got very quick hands, very quick feet, and he's a great mover. He knows how to change levels. He's not how to throw feints. He knows how to be tricky on his way in. He gives you so many different looks. He doesn't just barrel in. Sometimes he gives you a little foot feint, and then he just throws a jab and in and out, boom, boom.
He's got power too. It's not like
he's got enough to hurt you too. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could tell Zane was having problems, and he was getting frustrated with that.
Yeah. I think you hit it right on the head, Beeb. I think on the June 1st Saudi card, I think you could see both of these fights, the Ball Vargas fight and the Parker Zhang rematch. Yeah. Yep. Perfect.
Why not?
What did you think about Anthony Joshua?
He did what he needed to do, and he restored the faith in boxing fans. Because had Ngannou...
You were worried, weren't you, Robert? Were you scared?
No.
Were you scared
I
like these guys?
No, absolutely not. I wasn't worried at all.
Mr. Derek told me you were like, lock yourself in your bathroom before the fight. You were nervous.
Anthony Joshua took the fight a lot more seriously than Tyson Fury did. And frankly...
Did he, though?
Yeah, I do. Eric, I think Joshua took Ngannou a lot more seriously than Fury did. I honestly believe that. I think we're going to see a different Tyson Fury come May 18th.
You're going to see him getting laid out May 15th.
Well, no. Usyk only has 14 knockouts and 21 wins. And I don't see him hurting Fury.
How many knockouts do you have, Robert?
I don't have
like
any because
like
I'm not a
nothing.
Fighter, Joe. Come on.
Two-thirds of his fights have ended in knockouts, Robert.
That's something to sneeze at.
Right.
Yeah, well, look, and because
he's not
of
knocking
the size,
out cab drivers, son. He almost put away AJ.
Because of the size difference, I don't see him hurting Fury like that. I just don't.
How big was AJ? AJ's the same size as Fury.
Fury's 2 inches taller and at least 20 pounds heavier than Joshua.
Dude.
Are we really going to split hairs here about 2 inches?
No. Give me a break.
I mean, you miss one day at the park, and you don't go to your Friday night Applebee's, and you're just all discombobulated.
Give me a break.
Are we gonna argue over 2 inches?
No, we're not. I ain't gonna waste my time with that. I'll put it like that.
I could really go like a few different places with that comment.
Yeah, and this is a family show, even though Joe tried to make it as X-rated as possible.
Iceman, right where I was going. That's what she said.
All right.
What do you think about Ryan Garcia, Robert? What's your take on this? Are you privy to what's going on?
Yeah, I've been keeping up with things, and frankly, I don't believe he's trolling. I think there's something seriously wrong with the dude, and if he's allowed to fight Devin Haney, I don't normally say this about a Devin Haney fight.
Does he need a permission slip from his mother to fight Devin Haney?
She'll sign it, too, because she likes him.
I'm talking about medical clearance, guys. If he's cleared to fight and allowed to fight, I think Devin Haney will get a knockout. I think that's how bad in shape Garcia is in, because he's not concentrating on the fight at all. This stuff is ridiculous.
Big Texas doesn't care about 2 inches.
I hate that.
You know what? I'm going to leave that up. What?
I hate that whole gag anyway. That needs to go away.
Gag? That he calls up? That he likes Beeb? You don't like fans of Beeb.
I mean,
it does make me feel uncomfortable,
Robbie. But you gotta let the guy be himself.
Right.
You can't hate on the guy because that's who he is. You gotta be inclusive of all types of people, Robert.
All of them.
Yeah, but you
be inclusive,
this
Robert.
This is
stop.
I know you have your little circle over there in San Francisco over there, wherever the hell you're at. But I mean, there's a big world out there with a lot of different people out there. You have to accept everyone.
Yeah.
Of course, it makes my stomach turn, but you know what? I got to deal with it. Part and parcel of the show.
Hey, when are the A's leaving? When are the A's leaving to Los Angeles?
They're supposed to leave Oakland after this year, but the problem is the new stadium in Vegas is not going to be ready until 2028. So they have to find a place to play. In 25, 26.
How do you know that? What do you have, the architectural plans?
UNLV Stadium over there. Cashman Field. What about Cashman Field where the 51s play?
Well,
it's not
going to
be
they have a new minor league ballpark now for the AAA team, and it does seat about 10,000 people. That could be a possibility. But we'll wait.
That's about how many they were getting in Oakland.
they
were getting about 6,000 over there.
Eric, I'm an A's fan, and people are pissed off at the way everything is being handled. So I don't blame people
for not showing up. I would be too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be too, man.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get moving here.
All right, see
ya.
Thanks, brother. All right, and then we're going to get back to the phones in just a second here. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson has been signed. That fight will take place in Dallas Stadium, Beeb. July 20th on Netflix. It is an exhibition. It is important to use that word, exhibition. We don't know if anybody will have headgear. We don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. I guarantee rules will start coming out as the fight gets closer. But I believe everybody's just signed and on board with it. But, yeah, I think as it gets closer, we'll figure out more about what's actually going to take place here.
Yeah.
This is what I just don't get, Beeb. I don't get this. At all. This blows me away here. Manny Pacquiao and Conor Benn are in advanced talks, according to ESPN and Mike Coppinger, and I've heard this other sources as well. They're in advanced talks to fight each other at 147 pounds. Manny Pacquiao and Conor Benn travel to Riyadh to meet each other and see if they can finalize a fight with Saudi Arabia officials. This is awful. This is really bad. This is not a good fight.
Not crazy about this one.
No, I'm not either. And I don't know why he's so anxious to fight. He wanted to fight in the Olympics. He wants to fight again. Listen, dude, it's over.
He does look good, though. He looks very good for his age, I have to say. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. That's the thing. It doesn't mean squat. You know, I mean, you and I look great for our ages.
Yeah, I look good for my age, man. But I could get knocked out by the cashier at Publix, man, any minute if I walk in
that guy trains every day, by the way.
Yeah.
That's not
I'm talking about the guy. I'm talking about the girl.
Well, that's a different animal, too. So, you know, what are you going to do? Crawford and Eubank. The fight is rumored now and would have Crawford jumping up two weight classes to fight Chris Eubank Jr. This is an easy fight for Crawford. I believe it's an easy fight for Crawford. Kind of reminds me of the Donnie Lalonde Ray Leonard fight, where
what a great comparison. What a perfect comparison that is.
Yeah, Eubank's got a big right hand. He's got some power. He's not going to be able to land it though. And he's a bigger guy. It'll look great on the lead-ins and when you see them next to each other and stuff. But, I think
Crawford's trying to justify his position to Canelo that, hey, if I get a good win at 160, maybe you can take a second look at me at 168. Take that fight serious.
That's not a bad deal because we know he's not fighting Benavides anytime soon. Right, we all know that. That's not happening this year. That sucks.
I'm optimistic for September, we'll see.
Well, listen, man, it's not a done deal yet. because Canelo is still with PBC. He is still with PBC. He will face, it is official, undisputed, super middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez will face, drum roll, Jaime Munguia on May 4th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. It'll be PBC who promotes the event. It will be on Prime Video. All right? So there you go. Beeb, like this fight? I hate the fight. I'm assuming you hate the fight too?
I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I like what Munguia did in his last two fights. So, and again, Canelo is still a great fighter, but he's flipped a little bit.
He is, but this is the perfect guy to put him in against.
Yeah.
If you, especially because he has that slippage, this is the perfect guy to put him in against.
You would be surprised if this fight was competitive.
Yes, very much. Very much. No, it will not be competitive at all. In fact, this fight's going to end in 6 rounds.
So you think Canelo stops? Because Canelo didn't even stop Charlo.
Yeah.
But you think because the way Munguia fights, he's going to be more
The style of Munguia is going to play right into Canelo. Canelo's going to hit him and hit him hard all night long.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just different styles. To me, it's going to be a different style fight.
Yeah.
Now, I'm more interested if when is – let's see here. It doesn't have a date for the Crawford or when they're looking at. But, you know, I mean, if it – listen, it's not out of the realm of possibility, you know, that he can fight Crawford. There's still PBC. He can fight Crawford. Will it happen? I don't know. But, you know.
If he looks great against Eubank and has no problem fighting at that higher weight,
and
it's
a perfect style matchup for him because you have the power. Chris Eubank carries a lot of power with him. You know what I mean? He's got stop power, you know. But he's not really the greatest boxer out there. We saw that in the Billy Joe Saunders fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to check out somewhere in that fight because he's not going to be able to touch Crawford. And it's a great style matchup for Crawford. It's a great matchmaking opportunity for Crawford if he takes this. Yeah. I think
you think Crawford could beat Canelo right now, right?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, it'll be, you know, because Crawford can hit. And Crawford is in really good shape for his age. He's in really good shape. He's shown no slippage.
Yeah. Crawford's never had a tough, like, an iffy fight at all. Like, he's won clearly in all his fights.
Anybody can say, well, he didn't fight this guy. They weren't in their prime or whatever. When he collected all those belts, all those guys were good fighters.
Yeah.
They were all good fighters.
He never had a close fight.
No. Not even a little bit. Not even one that was remotely close, you know? So, there you go. 760-760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brian. What's up with you? Eric, man.
Brian, what's up?
What's up? What's happening, man?
Brian didn't call him for like six months because he got full scared you got hang up on.
That's the way it is, man. You know,
you got me scared, man. Look, I just had to get a laugh, man, because I was so proud of what Anthony Joshua did yesterday. Oh my God, and he did it so easy.
You were scared too, weren't you? Everyone was afraid, man.
No, I knew everyone was nervous, man. Yeah, well, I guess I was a little nervous. I'm gonna be honest with you, because I was like, man, we can't have this. That shit. I'm glad Anthony Joshua made that shit right because he did it easy, huh? He just used a simple one, two, bam. You know, and I hit him with a couple jabs, straight, easy. That was, like, so basic. It makes me wonder, though. I'm like, damn, he knocked him out. I mean, he knocked him out so cold, too. He was on the ground. He was like, he woke up. He said, I have never seen such power in my life. Never. Did I get hit by a plane? Did I get hit by a train? Who the fuck hit me? He didn't know what happened. But
it makes me wonder.
He was out. But it makes me wonder, I'm like, okay, what happened? Okay, B, this your boy right here, Tyson Fury. I know you part of the, what do you call it, the Furomaniacs. I get it.
Furomaniacs, but we've been taking a lot of heat lately, man. We've been taking a lot of heat lately. I've been getting a lot of hate mail.
I was called up
telling me I could possibly lose my post because I'm not doing enough positive PR right now. I told the team over there, there's nothing I can really do, man. You got to take an L on this one. I told them. They didn't want to hear it.
All right, Brian, thanks for calling, man.
Damn.
We appreciate it, man. We're going to get running.
Oh,
all right, let's go.
Don't do that to him, man.
I was like, there you go. Hey, but B, your boy, man, Fury. You still – okay, let me ask Eric. I'm going to ask Eric first. Eric, do you think that Usyk has a chance right about now to beat Fury?
He's picking Usyk.
When they fight.
Yeah.
He's picking Usyk.
Oh, he's washing Fury.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Washing
Fury.
Fury's finished, son. You've seen it. You've seen it.
Yeah, because I'm like, man, after that, you know, after that performance by Anthony Joshua, it ain't like Anthony Joshua did – something amazing. He just used some straight up simple shit, knocked out Ngannou, you know what I'm saying? And it makes me wonder, like, is something wrong with Fury?
Yeah, I
it
agree.
Makes me wonder if something's off with Fury, because
as soon as that fight with Ngannou ended, I picked Usyk in that fight.
Yeah, because I'm like, you guys really think, you know what I think it is? I think Fury just been playing. Just like you guys said, he wasn't serious.
Yeah.
I don't know. How serious has he been in his whole career, to be honest? Is all this catching up to him? I don't know. What I'm saying? All I know
is
that
this is no time to be like up and down and not be focused, man. There's too many big fights ahead of you to not take things serious, man.
And if you think, you know, for me, because, you know, it's like, okay, Fury bigger, he should win, he got the better reach, you know, that's what I want to believe in my mind, but then it's like, okay, does he got an on and off switch? Because he done turned it off for a minute, so he just going to turn it on, you know, on the fight night. I don't know, you know what I'm saying, but I kind of favor Usyk right now.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I think Anthony Joshua.
He's actually the favorite right now. Fury was the favorite, and after that fight that Joshua had with Ngannou, Fury's now the underdog.
Yeah.
Some
which I predicted
off,
was
going to
happen anyway.
They keep saying, oh, he had a bad day in the office. That's just like if you were fucking a pilot or something and you have a bad day. And you crash the damn plane.
You crash
like,
the plane.
That's not. Yeah, it's like, come on, man. He crashed the damn plane. This guy, that ain't no bad day. He might be off. It might be his legs, his punch resistance. Something got to be off, man, to where Ngannou
everything.
Was. This dude, Ngannou, I don't even see how he even touched Tyson Fury. You know what I'm saying? Unless something off. Something got to be off, man. You know what I'm saying? But
it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
It was.
I agree.
It was. But
all right,
hey,
Brian.
That's it for today.
We're
gonna
get rolling here.
Hang up on me. Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys.
All right, man. All right. 443. You're live. 443.
Gentlemen. Troy Grant from the Troy Grant Experience. How you doing?
Troy, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Oh, two rounds. And this is the only MMA guys, and to you, Mr. Tyson Fury lover. Now, to you guys in MMA, just because someone could strike does not mean that they're a pugilist. They're strikers. It's two different things, which you saw last night. And as I've always stated to you, sir, Tyson Fury is not a great fighter. He's great against guys who really can't box, guys that he actually takes seriously that can't box, Wilder, Derek Chisora, guys like that. But if you can box, you're going to beat him. Now, fast forward to his fight with Usyk. Usyk is going to outlast him and beat him on points. That's the way the fight's going. It's not even going to be a pretty fight. It's going to be, unless he makes it ugly like he did with Klitschko, disgusting and ugly like he did with Klitschko, which he probably will, that's the only way he wins. What are your thoughts?
I mean,
hello?
It's not a good look for Tyson Fury after what happened on Friday. I mean, it's
he's getting washed by Usyk.
He's now become the underdog now. On the odds have him as the underdog.
And let me tell you what, the odds are going to get wider.
They're probably going to get wider.
I'm telling you. I don't care. Again, we'll go back to it over and over. I don't care what he – if he didn't train a lick, he should not have looked like that against that guy.
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have come close to losing.
I can't defend Fury right now. If you so
– whatever. There's nothing
I can say to defend what happened on that night. Can't.
All right. Well, let me say this before I bounce out of here. Fury has an Achilles heel. That's good boxers. Just ask Steve Cunningham. Just ask Waleem, who's a decent boxer, but he can take a punch. I mean, Fury's not a puncher because he doesn't dig his feet in to punch. He's always set to move. So that's why he had so much trouble with Steve Cunningham, I'm sorry. That's why he got dropped by him. He had so much trouble with Waleem because he couldn't do nothing to Waleem. He couldn't hurt him. And that's why he had problems with a guy that had 0-0 on his record because he couldn't hurt him. And what hurts Fury is that he goes up and down in weight. He doesn't stay you know, like in shape. And those three, I would say two fights with Wilder took a lot out of him, the second and the third. The first one he actually won that, but they didn't give it to him. So that's what – he's on his last leg. I say once Usyk beat him, he should just go away, take the money and go away, and then just live his happy gypsy life. Y'all have a good day. And to all you MMA guys, it's so hard to say goodbye, but we must. Shut the hell up now. Thank you.
They were crying. They were crying on Friday.
The MMA guys?
Oh, yeah.
What did they think was going to happen? I mean, for real. Like,
hey, you know what? Let them believe. Let them have hope.
Oh, stop it.
Let them have their hope.
Come on, man.
Always good to dream once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that anybody thought he was really going to give AJ even a run. I'm like...
Antonio picked him. Mrs. Herrick picked him.
Antonio picked him. Antonio's also picked Jake Paul, so I don't know.
I mean, Mrs. Herrick picked him, too.
That's true. 716. Three, two, one. All right, 445. Pennsylvania, maybe? 445, you're live.
Yeah, so thank God AJ saved us.
What's this?
Another thing is, like, it was going to happen. It was going to happen. Maybe it was easy.
Go ahead,
AJ.
I'm listening.
At the same time, I think Fury is too, like 36. 36 a big body. I mean, 36 of the big body, he's not going to be the same. Like, athletes for different combat sports who are 36 who have a big body don't do well later on. So that's the first thing. Second thing is with Francis in his first fight, you could see his defense was much better than his fight against Joshua. What do you guys think?
I think that could be true.
I don't think.
Of course, still at the same time, he should like won that fight, Fury. I'm not excusing him, but I'm like. I mean, he looked like an MMA guy against AJ. And against Fury,
yes.
Although Fury was shit, at least his defense, his hands were better. When he was boxing against AJ, he was doing, like, MMA stuff, keeping his hand, like, try to... He didn't do that in boxing.
You know what? And you know what that was? And that was an experience. That's why he kept doing that MMA stuff in the ring like that. It was...
You can't cram 10 years of experience into two training camps. You can't do that.
No.
You know?
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's just the way.
But my thing is, like, how can a... How
that would
can
be
like
me.
My,
trying to take the bar exam after never studying.
Right, right. All right, let me let him back on here.
But AJ should have still won for me. But my thing is with Usyk and Fury. For me, Usyk was always like the favorite going into the fight because like the way Usyk fights is a nightmare matchup for Fury because Fury likes to clinch and Usyk has a sambo background. How you guys are similar to sambo, so they're good with clinches and stuff. So. And also, Usyk is also the most technical boxer Fury ever fought. So, for me, Usyk was still the favorite. Now it makes him more of a favorite. For me, Usyk should like be the undisputed heavyweight champion.
Yeah, it is. All right, my friend, Pennsylvania, we're going to get running. Thank you so much. 267, 267, you're live.
Philly Drew?
Is it Philly Drew?
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah, it's Philly Drew. What's up?
What's up, Drew?
Nothing much. I'll be honest with you. I guess the AJ fangirls had an orgasm watching him knock out Ngannou like that. But, man, I'll be honest with you, man. It was a good knockout. It was a good statement. But I think people are going to try to use the triangle theory on this if he ever was to fight Fury and everything. And I still think Fury beats AJ. I don't think AJ doesn't ever beat Usyk. It's just the revival of his old ways and everything. But the old AJ was always beatable. But I'm done talking about that. But Canelo, I have Canelo beat knocking out or stopping Mejia in 10. I just think Mejia will be able to take damage and he'll take too much. And I think the corner will call it off. In about 10.
That could happen, yeah.
But I think we're not going to see the Benavidez fight. I think Canelo's in that phase of his career now, just as Floyd was at the end. Lil, where's Kyrie Ward? That's what I think. He's in that phase now. He feels like he's the cash cow. He gets all this money. He should be able to pick who he wants to fight. And it won't be anybody that's really going to be that dangerous, you know? Like, I don't see him. I could see him maybe moving up in weight to fight somebody, but I don't think he'll take. I don't think he's going to generally take a big risk in his career again.
Okay. I think it's possible. That's possible. Okay. But, I mean, any fighter, I mean, you know, I don't think Mejia's a big risk. I think Crawford could be a risk. I don't know. But as far as like a Benavidez or a Bivol again, no, those fights are gone.
I don't think he will fight Crawford because it is a risk. Because what happens if Crawford outboxes him from 12 rounds, and you see how that's going to fit on his legacy, being a box guy coming up from 3 or 4 weight classes down and beat you. I think that's a huge risk.
Yep.
Like Crawford,
it is.
I think he avoids that fight. I think it's
a lot of risk and not a lot of reward.
And if you do lose to Crawford, you're going to be the guy that lost to a guy that was like coming up 3 weight classes below you.
Right, right.
So,
and he's older than him too. He's 36, Crawford. But
that's right.
I think we're going to possibly get. In September, Jamal Charlo.
I hope not.
Oh, hope not. That would be
I crazy. Hope not either.
I hope not.
Yeah,
but I
would
not be surprised. I just can't see him fighting.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Would not shock me at all.
Yeah, but I can possibly see him having a middleweight move up to fight him like Jennebeck. And anything, because I don't think Jennebeck's that much of a risk.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, you got to have somebody. I think he's going to at least fight names. Jennebeck's not really a big name. Mungia is a name. Mungia is actually a big, big fight in Mexico, I'm sure.
Yeah. But
so.
But I can. But yeah, well, you got to find a name, but there's not really many more names out there that you can say, oh, I'll fight him and I say, besides Benavidez, Bivol, Benavidez, and all of them. There's not really that many more names.
There's not much left.
No.
He says he wants to fight 5 more years. Who's he going to fight?
5 more years. Is he crazy? He's like, he's not fighting Benavidez.
Who's he
going to
fight?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but
there you
who's going to fight for 5 more years?
Yeah, he's not fighting for 5 more years.
He says he is. I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I give it 3 tops. I can only see him fighting 3 more years.
Like I said, I think 1 or 2 more. I think he's at the tail end right now.
People forget he turned pro 18, 19 years ago. So
yeah, when he was like, what, 15?
15, 16 years old, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, yeah. He's been there. He's got a, he, you know, he may be younger, but he's got 1 million miles on him.
Yeah, a lot of miles.
You know, that's a big deal.
And it's not like he's
going
to
get one in here. He's right. I don't think he lasts for another 5 years. I don't think he lasts for another 3 years. I think he's got 1 or 2 maybe.
5 years, I don't think.
You know, and that's something they say. You know, I'm gonna box 5 more years. That's whatever. That's what they all say.
Seriously, the same thing. He's gonna box 5 more times or whatever.
Right. Dante has brought up another good point. Is Jamal is still undefeated, right?
Jamal is, yeah.
Yeah, and so that could be a, you know, listen, man, if you're looking at records, you got an undefeated guy in there, never lost, you know, it's possible. Listen, I don't want to see it because I think you're going to see the same exact fight that you saw.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
No, and Jamal has got to get some wins under his belt. I mean, he's got to get some more fights under his belt.
I agree.
Because he's been inactive for a while.
Long time.
Yeah. And he's not the kind of – that's not the kind of guy you want to bring in. You know what I mean?
No.
He's not the kind of guy you just want to, you know, break your – you know.
And Jamal was the better fighter of the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
Yeah, and I don't think – yeah. It's going to be one of those things, man. What do you think – so Canelo fights – Canelo's going to fight Munguia. Canelo's going to win. He's going to beat Munguia. And then what?
Well, then you got Benavidez going to 175, and he's saying, oh, I can come back down to 165. Like, nah.
He's not coming back down. No, he's not coming back down. Who is he fighting at 175 again?
Alexander Vozdik.
Vozdik.
That was the guy that was beating Betterby before he got stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's a good fight, and I think I'll be honest with you. And I tell you what, I was listening to Jim Lampley earlier in the week,
yeah.
And he gave an interview, and it was really, really interesting because it's something I'd never really thought of. They said that Benavidez was like 200 some odd pounds when he was like 12 or 13.
Correct.
So he's lost a lot of weight or whatever, but he's still a big guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And at 175. You know, it's possible, especially with the division the way it is, that he can move up, that he can hit past cruiserweight and go to the heavyweights. And, I mean, you know, listen, man, with good matchmaking and everything like that, I think he can be a problem up there. And
I think he'd be a good cruiserweight. I don't know if he can go all the way up to heavyweight, but we'll see.
How tall is he?
Like 6'2".
I mean... He's a shorter heavyweight.
Yeah, Usyk 6'3", yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, and Usyk fought Sean Porter in the amateurs.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind, which still blows my mind that, you know.
Sean Porter loves talking about how he got a victory over Usyk.
I would too, you know. The heavyweight champion of the world, boy.
He loves that.
I beat him. I think that would be more interesting to me is to watch him go up than watch him come down and beat Canelo because – Canelo has no interest in fighting him to begin with.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if he did, the fight would be happening.
I mean, people love to say Canelo can do whatever he wants. Well, if he can do whatever he wants, if he wanted to fight, he would have fought him.
Hey, what happened to the whole thing where he doesn't want to fight Mexicans? Remember that? He didn't want to fight Mexicans or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know.
And now he's fighting Jaime Munguia. So what?
Yeah, I don't know. With now people say he didn't say that. He said he would rather not fight Mexico. I don't know.
Yeah, and I get that. But I don't get that. You know, I understand that that's probably what he said versus I don't want to fight, you know, because they're from the same country or whatever. But why not give those guys a payday? You know what I mean? Why not give those guys a payday? That's the biggest thing you can do for them. You're the cash cow, is give them a payday.
It's called prize fighting. So when people say, oh, you know, they want a payday, I mean, that's what it's called. It's prize fighting. Everybody wants a payday. That's what it is.
Yeah, I agree. So, I don't know, man. Not good.
We'll see what happens.
Very limited. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X at jhabib1. YouTube channel is at ringsidereporterlive.com. And I'm on X at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.